He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
March 2012, SNU, He Said, She Said. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty darn good. It's a little nippy out there.
It was nippy.
As you said, you could see my breath.
Well, I could see my breath. You know, when you
can see my
exhale and you can see your breath. I think that's
cold enough. That's cold
a fairly reliable sign that it's beyond the realm of temperature that I actually prefer or enjoy.
Too. A little colder than what I'd like.
You know, you can find that temperature in a tropical place on the planet if you're high enough.
Yes.
In the sky. Yeah. Like if I remember Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea on the big island of Hawaii. Right, it gets really cold up there. Or even Haleakala, going up to see the morning sunrise.
Absolutely.
It gets really freaking cold up there.
But, you know, if you're dressed for it, like I don't mind the cold weather as long as I've got the right gear on. But if your neck is cold or your top's too short and your belly's showing or your back and there's a little breeze coming through there or your feet are cold, you know, you need to be warm and have the right gear. And then any type of weather is okay. I would rather be cold and get warmed up rather than be too hot. Because once you're too hot and there's no air conditioning, God forbid no air conditioning, then you're screwed. Because you can't sleep when it's too hot, but you can sleep when it's cold because you can get warm, put more blankets on and put some flannelette pajamas on. But other than that, there you have it.
Yeah, I love Google and the internet. I asked it, why can you see your breath in the wintertime? And it has to do with water and how it changes and condenses due to the temperature. Our breath contains a lot of vapor because our lungs are quite moist. When we head outside on a cold day, water molecules, or the vapor, in our breath lose the energy that, when they're warm, keeps them moving. Instead of bouncing around, they crowd up next to each other.
Oh.
And as they slow down, the molecules change from a gas state to denser liquid and solid states. The visible cloud of tiny particles of water and ice that you see when you exhale. Now, if you have a cell phone or an iPhone, you could find the answer to that question when you're walking along, seeing your breath, and your child asks you, Daddy, Mommy, why can you see your breath? This is the beauty and incredible value of the internet.
You got that right.
Yeah, you can get answers to these questions and live and think like a scientist.
Well, Ruby used to say to me, Mommy, why is the sky blue? Or why is this and why is that? And I said, well, that's a good question for Michael. Or that's a good question for Daisy. Or that's a good question for your grandmother. Or that's a good question for your dad. Because I couldn't answer a lot of these questions with my doughhead brain that I have. I couldn't answer the questions. So that was 20 years ago. There was no Google then, right? So today it would be fantastic.
Yeah, so Google can help pretty much anyone, including yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so let's move on to our first topic. What's cooking?
What's cooking is an unedited cookie called a black bean carob chili pepper cookie. I think that's what I'm going to call it. And the beauty of this cookie is that I'm using black beans instead of flour.
Power to the bean.
There you go. Black beans, I substitute instead of using any type of flour. So that's beautiful. So it's gluten-free. Literally, gluten-free. So I used some black beans and some eggs and some vanilla extract and some firm tofu, applesauce, some coconut oil. Now you can use honey, maple syrup or agave syrup or any kind of sweetener that you like. Cocoa powder, you use some chocolate whey or some hemp blend, baking powder, baking soda, carob chips, any nut and seed, a raisin, cranberry, currant, whatever you want. And you can add chili peppers or cayenne pepper if you want to. You don't have to, but I just kind of got that idea with the dark chocolate and the chili pepper, because there's a chocolate bar like that I tasted at a trade show one time, and I thought, that might be an idea. But you mix everything all together, and away you go. You got a really nice cookie. Now, all of my recipes are going to be on our new website, every recipe I've ever done. But anyway, a lot of those recipes I've changed up a little bit, because the better I get, I change them all up again, and I can't even follow my own recipes. However, this recipe, whatever I'm going to call it, it's made with black beans and tofu and dark chocolate, so, and chili peppers. So, but black beans are part of the legume family, if you didn't know that, which includes beans, peas, lentils, and peanuts.
Yeah, and I'm on Nutrition Facts website here. Actually, the website is nutritiondata.self.com. This is a great website if you want to get the lowdown on any food. So I just plug in beans, black, and so 15 grams of protein, 41 grams of carbs, 1 gram of fat. Now that is in a serving size, 172 grams. So high carbs, beans are high.
So I'm saying a third of a cup is 6 grams of fiber, and a third of a cup is 9 grams of protein, vegetarian protein. Okay, so now you can buy canned black beans in the tin, or you can buy dried black beans. If you buy them in the can, they're already cooked. You need to wash them first because they're packed in sodium as a preservative, but I would wash them very good first. If they're dried, then you need to cook them, and there's different various ways to be cooking them. But they're high, rich in magnesium, rich in phosphorus and iron. Like I said, they're high in fiber and a good source of vegetarian protein. They're low in fat, good source of folate. But always put your hair up, people, when you're in the kitchen cooking. Put your hair up. Big one. Biggie, biggie, biggie. Yeah.
Even when I'm eating now,
yeah,
my hair gets in my mouth. I had a real mouthful the other day. So I have to put my hair back, tie it up when I eat.
No.
But man, I prefer to hang loose.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I will have that recipe for you. The beautiful black bean, using black beans instead of flour. And there was no flatulence, as far as I know.
Speak for yourself.
I didn't eat that. It makes about 3 dozen. It was just loaded with nuts and seeds and raisins and currants. And it was just really, really scrumptious. Everybody who tried it really liked
it. So you blended it up, right?
I put it in a blender.
When we eat beans and legumes normally, we don't chew them well enough prior to digesting them in the stomach.
Right.
So when you blend them up, and this is,
I'm
leading to a protein shake concept here.
Yeah.
This is why the protein shake is so great. It's well blended.
Right.
It's easy
pre-digested.
Yeah,
exactly.
Kiddies,
yes.
Adolescents, kids, seniors, people without teeth. The thing is all about ease of digestion.
Yeah.
And the fact, of course, you know, what's in it makes all the
That's blended.
Too.
The beans were blended with the tofu and the applesauce. But, I mean, this nuts and seeds weren't blended, so it was a nice crunchy. Now, if you don't want nuts and seeds, you can make kind of like a brownie out of it. You don't have to have the nuts and seeds and raisins and stuff in it. But it's a nice base for a cookie or a cake with the black beans. I just thought it was a really great idea. So there you have it. So let's get started on that. I will have that on our next website for everybody.
Yeah, and a lot of people go down and hit the dirt hard with desserts, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they might eat a nice clean meal, but then they destroy themselves with the dessert.
And that's one of the things that I'm really having some troubles with is in my cooking, is the fact that I've got lots of recipes for foods, but not for desserts. And a lot of the magazines I write for, they want desserts. And I'm going, oh, I got to get a really healthy dessert that, you know, so I'm really working on it, folks, trying to get the gluten-free,
sugar-free. So you don't have to dessert the desserts. You can still have a good dessert. It can
still
be a good food.
Good title, dessert.
Don't desert the desserts.
That's a good one. I'll have to remember
but
that.
Make sure that the dessert
doesn't desert you. Doesn't desert
a criminal.
There you go.
You know, the criminal intent of a dessert.
I like that one.
Another book title.
Sounds good to me.
Is that it?
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more.
Awesome. So everyone out there, whip up a batch and see if you can just eat one. I know there's no way I can. Tracy has to hide them.
Yep.
And when they're hidden, I like to look for them.
Yeah, there's not many places to hide them in our place.
There you
the
go.
The freezer.
Okay, so moving on to our next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Our last month's special guest was Dr. Peter Glidden. And Peter Glidden is very well-spoken and extremely passionate about his work. And he also has a very interesting story about how he became a naturopathic physician. He was going to MD.
Through his own illness.
He was going to school to become a medical doctor and fell ill.
That's very common.
Nobody could help him until he went to a naturopath, and the naturopath cured him.
You can't argue with success.
No. But he's very passionate, and he really gets into it. And like I told him when he did the SNU, I said, don't hold back, you know, because he can get quite irate about the system. And the
one thing I didn't agree with him to the same extent was that he was blaming the medical profession for all of the human woes, right? And what I was trying to get from him is a connection to self-responsibility. I'm convinced that no matter who you are, no matter what your situation, no matter how tough your life has been, whether you were sexually abused or knocked around or punched out or kicked in the head, no matter what it was, when you become an adult and you're not mentally defective, you're not actually mentally ill, but you have some wits about you, mm-hmm. that you have the capacity always to choose, to reframe, to walk away, to not do the bad thing, to yes. not hurt somebody. You have a choice. So I don't like to blame the doctors of the world for all of what's going on in medicine, all of the corruption. I think that there's a tag team going on. Well, I think that there's people that want the drugs. Yeah. They want the easy way out.
But it is emergency medical treatment. And like I've always said, if I'm in a car accident, I don't think I'm going to go to a naturopath to start with. I'm going to a surgeon. I'm going to a medical doctor. But after that, for my healing process, like if you're going to have surgery, I would go into surgery being the healthiest I possibly can before I go into surgery.
Yes, and if your medical doctor was naturopathically inclined and trained and he was a functional preventive medicine, integrative medicine doctor, he would know about all this stuff.
Yes.
So he would have all the technical skills, all the same training as a regular MD, but he would also respect vitamins and herbs and antioxidants.
Yeah.
Their whole approach to medicine would be based on identifying cause, not just treating effect.
Right.
Treating patient, not just the disease.
Yes,
and that's an entirely different process.
Mm-hmm. But they've got so many people. Like I wait when I go to see my doctor to get some blood work done. I wait a minimum of 45 minutes. And then I go into another room and I wait another 10 minutes. And I'm in there with him for 5 minutes. So I wait almost an hour to see him. And it's lined up.
Well, you know why? It's because he's got an overload of patients, which is more profitable for him to manage, right? If you load up, it's like airlines who oversell. Mm-hmm. Their seats.
Yeah.
And sometimes people show up and there's not enough room on the plane. They do that on purpose just to make sure that the planes are sold out.
Yeah.
So if you've got like 16 people waiting for you in your office and you can only see 10 of them, you're going to squeeze them in and out very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's not good medicine.
No.
You know, Dr. Rogers, my doctor, spent 1 hour with each patient.
Yeah.
You know, you met him at 1 o'clock and you knew that you had an appointment time for 1 hour. That's incredible. Talking philosophy, health, education, why you're ill, you know, and everything else that goes into it.
Right.
Well, just how many people
to listen? That's when you go to a doctor.
And then the doctors say, well, we don't have enough doctors. There's too many sick people. I say bogus to that. I say that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah. But all in all, Dr. Glidden was fantastic. I mean, he's on the right track. He does a lot of lecturing. He basically wants people to help themselves. He's for people being accountable.
Not to the same degree that I am. I think that he holds the doctors and the whole profession more guilty than the individuals that are taken advantage of.
Yes.
And I think that Pinocchio with his wooden head was taken advantage of by the weasel on his first day to school.
Mm-hmm.
But when he became a little boy, remember when he was magically transformed, he could think.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can think and you can reason, it's called sentience. When a human, a Homo sapien who has sentience, they are no longer guilt-free. They have the ability to reason within the faculty of their own mind, their frontal lobes, their cerebral cortex. They can actually conceptualize the difference between doing something and not, and see the difference and not, if they use their brain, if they use their smarts. Just right. That most people don't use them.
Right. So the thing is about our special guest interviews, it's not everything that they say that we are totally into ourselves, but it's really good for us to give you the experience of other people and what they're thinking.
Oh, yes. Because and sometimes when someone really is opinionated in a certain area, it accentuates the theme. It leaves a shadow or it leaves a vibration of that point in your mind.
Right.
And that adds to your wealth of knowledge.
Well, exactly, because this is what we're all about. It's an update of what's going on in the world. And for those of you who are teachers and lecturers or personal trainers, I mean, you're going to come in involved with an eclectic amount of people in your lifetime. So you need to know and be able to handle these people and be able to say, oh, yeah, I just heard an interview about this guy and he thinks this. It's like kind of like a Marv Stefan, who knows everything about everything, right? He can tell you,
Yes.
this guy. Yeah,
oh, for sure. Well, that's because Marv goes to pretty much every seminar that's possible to attend.
Exactly, yeah.
He's harvesting knowledge and information.
And so every time he comes involved with somebody or meets somebody in his work, he can just say, well, I just heard this guy speak. So it's wonderful. He does.
When you walk into a store, he's going to give you an earful.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has just been to 18 different seminars over the last week, and he keeps going.
Yes.
You know, and he talks story, right? And that's what people like. They like to talk story.
Now, whether you agree or not with the story that these people are saying, I mean, it's kind of an unbiased. It's not unbiased. It's just, here's my information that this guy gave me, and I'm just presenting it to you. So it's just, it's great to be.
If from listening to Dr. Glidden, if you walk away thinking, you know, yeah, there is a travesty, and doctors are for the most part criminals, and allopathic medicine is way off the mark. You know, you may not know all the details and understand everything, but at least you're aware of that.
Yes.
And so that when you approach medicine, you have an idea that maybe they're not going to give you the whole story.
Right.
And then you're still left with the need to do your own research. So there's still accountability.
Absolutely.
I just think that that's a very important element in humanity, is responsibility and accountability. Otherwise, we would be no more or less than a machine. And you don't hold computers responsible because they don't make decisions. They just perform tasks and they don't think. Mm-hmm. A thinking thing is different. It's an entirely different organism.
Right. Well, I mean, there are people out there who've had really tragedies in their life.
No doubt.
And there is help for them. And maybe at some time they need someone to hold their hand and give them some help and guidance and lead them in the right direction. And then maybe they're going to take it or they're not going to take it. But how much can you aid this person for the rest of your life?
How much will that person use that in their life as an excuse?
And let, you know, you have to take care of yourself. You're number one. You've got to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself and look after you, how are you going to help anybody else? So sometimes what you'll do is you'll help this person that is in dire need, and then you give up yourself. So really, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's got to take care of themselves. Doesn't mean that you can't help other people. But to the point where your own health and wellness and emotional,
that's absolutely illogical,
goes down
to abandon yourself.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely
ridiculous. Because if you don't look after yourself, no one else will, and you're definitely going to go down. And then you're useless, you're a liability, and then you're adding to the problems of the world. Because now you have to be fixed and looked after and taken care of. Mm-hmm. You're no longer able to take care of anybody. Mm-hmm. So you're a liability.
Yeah.
And in life, we want to not be a liability.
No.
Anytime, right? Free and independent.
Yeah, well, practice what you preach there, dear.
Okay, me too, dear. Moving on. Okay, thanks, Peter, for that insight. And we look forward to more of the same. CHI update. What's cooking there? What's on the edge?
Well, CHI is moving to Vernon, beautiful Vernon, British Columbia, which is in the Okanagan of British Columbia. The Okanagan is like the desert area, the winemaking, fruit growing, trees in the summertime. In the winter, we get lots and lots and lots of snow there, so it's beautiful for skiing and all the other winter sports. So, yes, that's where we're moving. We're moving there at the end of this month, which is the end of March.
And why are we moving
there? The reason that we are moving is because we're having another grandchild. Ruby is pregnant. Yes, folks, Ruby, 20 years old, is pregnant.
What do you call it, one in the oven?
She's got one in the oven, all right.
So we
you have it.
We actually have three grandchildren right now.
Well, two and a half.
We have two that are in the basket.
Yeah.
And one in the oven.
There you go.
But that little person in the oven right now is about, what, 20 weeks or so?
Yeah.
Now, that's a little person. If you go online and look at the embryonic developmental stages of a fetus and a little baby, you can see that at that age, that is a fully formed little human being, right?
Yeah.
So
had to wrap my head around that one.
That is exciting.
But I'm excited now because we wanted to move to Vernon. It's a beautiful lake. It's a beautiful area. We just love the whole Okanagan. Corey's family's there. I've got some family and friends there as well. So it's not like we're just moving to some place or we don't know anybody. We do have a lot of friends and family there, as I mentioned. But we wanted to move there prior to this about 10 years ago. And then we opted for the RV tour. So it's funny how life is, huh?
You know, there's an Arab quote that compares the value of a child to that of an arrow. Now, imagine if you're a hunter And how important would the arrow be? Now, you've got a bow, but isn't the arrow the key to actually making the kill? You need the arrow. You shoot the arrow.
And you have to point the arrow in the right direction.
So I think the quote was something like that we as archers, we reach back into our quiver where the arrows are. And happy is the archer whose quiver is full of arrows. So arrows are like children. And I think that they can certainly bring a lot of happiness and a lot of joy. But along with that happiness and joy comes sorrow and disappointment and fear that you have to learn how to manage and control, right?
Yeah.
We've talked to a lot of parents, and they are secretly terrified of anything happening to their children.
Yes.
You know, who wants to outlive your children?
No.
So managing your fear, I think, is like managing life itself. It's one of the most important elements in life to overcome. Mm-hmm. Aristotle said you can't be a master until you master yourself. And in order to master yourself, you've got to master your emotions.
Yes.
You know, isn't it true that everyone who's down and out is emotionally feeling depressed and lonely or troubled, right? There's an emotion tied in with that feeling.
Oh, absolutely. Hopelessness. That's the monotony of daily routine can kind of get you down too. The weather can get you down. Maybe just the same sounds, the same sights, the same place. Sometimes we need to go outside of our little box, you know, even if it's just for a day or an overnight sometimes, you know, just you need to get out of your
space.
Well,
of course, change is the only constant. Yeah. And I think that what humans do is try and prevent change and stop change. Yeah, and that anybody doing that is absolutely in conflict with nature and life itself.
There can be a comfort zone that is not very comfortable, but still that's your comfort zone, the uncomfortableness of it. So,
well, sure, let's give up our freedoms in response to living safely in a jailhouse or the bubble that people call their lives. So as long as you feel safe from the bad man, like the terrorist, then that's something that you're willing to trade for having no freedom, you know, being regulated and licensed and everything that you want to do, you can't do.
Exactly. Another thing about moving to Vernon in the beautiful Okanagan, you should Google that if you don't know where that is. Okanagan, where the...
It's about a 45-minute drive...
From Kelowna.
North of Kelowna.
Right. And it's got the Ogopogo, the famous, infamous Ogopogo in the Lake Okanagan. Anyway, there's a consciousness of health and fitness and Ironman triathlons.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we're going to really enjoy that. We're going to do some lectures there. And
well,
I think
we almost moved there
about
10 years ago because it was so beautiful.
Yes, exactly. So there you have it. That's what's going on. Anything else on your side with CHI Update?
No, it's just about getting ready to head out and pack up the little stuff
that we have. I think that's quite a mouthful for CHI Update. Ruby's pregnant. We're moving to Vernon.
I'm happy to move. I'm happy to move on.
I'm ready to go.
It's not even move. It's move on.
Move on, yeah. We've been
here 2 years. It's like a tumbleweed, man.
And it's time to go. I'm okay for 2 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because there's too much to see out there.
Yeah.
And if you don't move around and have a look, it's going to pass you by.
So I'm giving Vernon 2 years. And my girlfriend said to me, so how long do you think I'm going to be there? I said, a couple of years. And they say, well, only how do you know that? I said, well, I can only think 2 years. And I had another girlfriend tell me that she wanted to quit her job and she wanted to look for something that she could do for the rest of her life. And I said, my goodness, you are wearing me out saying there's something you want to do for the rest of your life. Why don't you just go every 2 years, find something? And she thought that was a really great idea. She can do that. That's a plausible thing to do. When you say do something for the rest of your life, oh, I just find that so exhausting.
Well, again, if you can find a way to generate revenue over the internet, it gives you a lot of freedom.
Yes.
And we're very thankful for that.
Yes, exactly.
Because when you have to stay positioned anywhere because of the job and the work, that does act as a deterrent from the freedom of actually moving around nomadically like a gypsy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And certainly not everybody wants to live like a gypsy.
No.
But gypsies want to live like gypsies.
Exactly, like we do.
So if you're not a gypsy, don't try and be one. Or maybe try it out and give it a shot just for a short term. But there are people that need to find a way to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to try different things, right?
Absolutely.
That's why I love about traveling and moving around. You get exposed to different things that you normally wouldn't.
That's
good stuff. So Ruby is going to have a little baby, and that is a celebration.
It certainly is.
And we are going there to celebrate that process and to see that little person come out into the world and help our daughter. And I'm telling you, there ain't nothing better than that.
That's right.
That's part of the joy of living.
Little Ruby Dubes.
Good stuff. Okay, dear. So what's your final word?
My final word is a proverb. No matter how long the winter, spring is sure to follow.